And we're back for another episode of the Wire Fantasy Football Podcast. Kyle, just me and you. What's going on?
Not much, man. Not much. It's been a while.
It has been. It's
been a little bit.
Been too long.
Mic's starting to get a little dusty. We have to dust it off real quick.
Yeah. Gonna have to make sure we bring these out every week. No title this week. What we're gonna do is we're gonna break down our recent listener league draft that we did. We had put it out there for some listeners to reach out to us, and if they wanted to do a league with us, we filled the league. We got a nice little draft in. Break it down.
Let's do it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's the Wire.
It's the Wire.
D. Griffey.
Griffey.
This the Wire, serving up a hot take. Around the league, serving gems like a hot plate. Who's the flex? First pick, rounds 4-8. Trading with the base, that Superman, we need a cape. This that fantasy, see who get the glory. Who's gonna stay up in their lane talking Tory? Who gonna ride up on the train with a hype at? Yeah, you wanna start them, but matches, you might not like that. Three tutties next week, man, he's double covered. Takes on 100 coming out the oven. Tim and Ty, they the guys, know you gotta love them. Take your pick, do it quick, they on fire. The Wire.
All righty. So, Kyle, I wanted to start really quick before we jump into the league. The Le'Veon Bell comments that he would rather retire than play for Andy Reid. Thought that was interesting.
I felt like that was kind of sour grapes. And I think because he came onto the team super late, it's really tough to kind of... It felt kind of out of bounds a little bit. Doesn't really surprise me with him and kind of the personality and track record that he had with Pittsburgh. I thought maybe that was just kind of a bad falling out, and maybe being on a team with Patrick Mahomes and would kind of change his attitude a little bit, but he probably expected a lot more playing time than what he got.
I think he's done. I don't think a team's... I think that comment might have ruined his career.
Yeah.
Because one... KC was probably the best place for him to go back to, right? But the thing is, he lost snaps to Darrell Williams. Yep. Wasn't like Damien came back from the COVID situation. I understand him losing reps of CEH. He just spent a first-round pick on him. You couldn't beat out Darrell Williams for some from snaps.
Yeah, that was kind of tough for him just because you're already kind of behind the eight ball, joining the team late, and... Again, we got to go back to the COVID stuff. I know everybody's sick of it. I'm sick of it, but that was the reality last year where you had all these virtual meetings and you didn't get as much on-field time as you probably needed, especially for him. He has to learn a whole new playbook and whatnot, get those reps in. But yeah, he didn't do himself a ton of favors, especially with these comments. So I was kind of already out on him anyway, just with how I treat running backs and I treat that position. You know, you try and just use them for their rookie contract and see you later. But I think his time's officially up now.
Yeah, I don't think anybody picks him up. Wasn't Andy Reid his coach in Philly? I'm sorry, he wasn't even in Philly. He was in Pittsburgh. I mixed him up with Shady McCoy in my head. Yep. I think he's done. I think he's Dunsky, as the Boston media would say it. So let's jump into the draft. Kyle, you took a very interesting approach to this league. So usually what it's called is competitive struggle. You can't call it that. There's no competitive in your struggle. You're tank mode. You're the 76ers. You traded everything you possibly could for future picks and anybody under the age of 22. I think if you count the draft picks on your team, your average age is like 14. you're really interested in like the 2027 class. Yeah.
It's full of promise. That's what it is. All the upside you could want.
You went in knowing that you wanted to do this.
I had a little bit of an inkling, and so I'm now, I believe, in six dynasty leagues this year. I took on a bunch this year. I took on a few with you.
Too many.
I got the fever early on and I was like, yeah, let's go for it. So I have a good amount of win now teams, and I kind of look at it as diversifying your portfolio of teams. So I said, you know what? I kind of already had
a This thought. Is the penny stock league?
This is the penny stock league, okay. Yeah. But also what kind of helped with that was in the league chat when we were talking about draft order and we said, oh, you know, who wants the blind swap first?
Oh, that was interesting. So, yeah, why don't you break that down really quick?
Yeah, so it was thrown out there in the league chat, who wants to blind swap first? And
before we randomize the draft order.
Before we even randomize the draft order. And I said, you know what? Fuck it. YOLO. I'm usually towards the end of my drafts. That's just how the randomizer randomly decides to give me the
randomly.
Last pick. Randomly, you know. So I said, you know what? I'll take my chances today. Of course, luck bites me in the ass. I would have ended up with the 103. Had to swap for the 110.
Yeah.
So that kind of already set me, I don't want to say it set me back too far because it's, I mean, it's only a first round pick, but it definitely kind of pushed home, especially how this draft ended up playing out, pushed home the, okay, we'll go productive struggle. I'm not going to say competitive struggle. I'll say productive struggle because it was productive.
No, it wasn't. There's no productive whatsoever. You're full on. There's no struggle. This is a full on rebuild. You're not even a rebuild. You just have nobody. Dallas Goedert is the oldest player on your team.
And you know what? That's totally fine because I have building blocks like Justin Jefferson, CeeDee Lamb, Joe Burrow, Trey Lance, Javonte Williams, who I think is going to end up with a big role towards the end of this year or even next year. He'll have the workload to himself. Could be a high end RB2, low end RB1, that kind of upside, I think. And then.
Seven first round picks in the next 2 years. In the
next 2 years, and then four twos.
Yeah.
So those picks are only going to gain value as we get closer and closer to the rookie drafts. We saw what happened this year with rookie fever. I'm a big fan, especially of the 2023 class, but I'm sure some 2022 guys will step up. And
it's another big quarterback year.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's another big quarterback year. It looks like right now it's a 2022 is a little bit lighter on wide receiver. And it's not going to be as good of a tight end class.
Yeah.
But because this was probably the best tight end class we've seen in a while.
Yeah. Anybody that doesn't have any class that doesn't have Kyle Pitts, you're automatically.
No, even without him, Freiemuth is a very good tight end. I think
absolutely.
Because Pitts is so overly talked about,
yeah.
I think Pat Freiemuth is undervalued.
Yeah.
And then, you know, Hunter Long is going to be a pretty good player. Trey McKitty is going to have a good role for a couple of years. I'm not saying these guys are going to be all pros like Tony Gonzalez or something like that, but there's a lot of depth at tight end this year. And then Brevin Jordan should, you know, have a good role this year. So hopefully Watson comes back and throws him the ball. But it was definitely an interesting draft for you. Especially because it was like, all right, Kyle's on the board. I can just turn off sleeper now unless I want this pick because I knew you were going to negotiate a trade every pick because you were just accumulating assets, whether it was moving back or getting future picks.
So here's the thing with that. And this kind of goes as a tip for the other listeners that aren't in the listener league, but will listen to the podcast anyway. You're in a startup. You kind of gauge where everybody looks at their teams. And you start to kind of feel out that process by how everybody's drafting, what they're going for, whether it's a veteran or players with upside, or they're looking to move up in the draft. And that was something I started to notice, especially as the draft went on. Guys started hitting me up as my pick was coming up. Hey, what do you want for this pick? Hey, what do you want for this pick? Eventually, I got to a point where I had guys basically negotiating
against each other,
having a bidding war. And I'm just sitting there like, hey, best offer wins kind of thing. So it definitely got to that point. And, you know, if guys want to win now and push for that win now, absolutely go for it. I'm going to try and reap the benefits of that going forward in the future because Dynasty is a long-term game. You know, those picks are only going to gain value. And could I use those picks? Sure. Or could I move those picks eventually for other proven players?
Oh, yeah. You could go out and buy, you know, DeAndre Swift or Clyde Edwards-Helaire, J.K. Dobbins, somebody like that, and assure your running back position with two firsts because you have so many.
Yeah.
You know, you could do stuff like that to excel your process next year.
Yep.
I like it. There was just certain situations where I thought you should have gone best player available.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, when you're in like the seventh, eighth, ninth round, instead of just going with a guy like Bateman, go at somebody who can reap you a little bit of a better trade return and kind of, you know, control the trade talks in the league where, you know, like, instead of going Bateman, if you would have gone like, he's probably a bad spot there. I didn't have the draft pick up, but, you know, if you would have gone with like a quarterback there and you know, move Carson Wentz for like two future firsts or something like that, rather than going Bateman, that's where it kind of all gets a little bit, I would have taken a different strategy, but I can't knock it. Your team looks good for 2025.
It's interesting that you bring up Bateman and that you would come up with a different strategy because you did take a different strategy.
What was the strategy?
You took my strategy and you took you took my draft board.
We weren't even together.
I don't know how you managed it. I don't know if you went back into the archives and started listening to or started reading previous texts and just started, you know, like a big chalkboard of like, okay, what's Kyle done within the last year? Who's he talked about? And just started taking all of my players before I was coming up on the clock. Because it started right there with Deontay. So actually, it started around beforehand, but you know, we'll go on Deontay.
So this is a fun 5-round stretch for the group chat, because it was like, Tim, fuck you! And then when I took Deontay it started with Fant in the 8th round. When I took Fant, you weren't very happy about that. That was the first snipe. And then it ended up being 5 snipes. I think it was 5 out of my next 6 picks. You cursed me out.
Pretty much. It got progressively worse as time went on.
Then I went Deontay before you went Bateman. Because you were hoping for Deontay, and I took him 2 picks before you. Then it was Elijah Moore, Mac Jones, and Kenny Gainwell.
It gets to a point where you just, you know what? I give up. I'm putting all my iPhone location is getting off. It's getting turned off.
You blocked me?
I'm blocking off all the group chats. I'm going remote, and I'm going away somewhere so that way nobody can see what my strategy is and what my guys are, because it was getting to that point. You know, I can handle 1, it happens. I can handle 2, it happens. You start getting worse and worse.
And I was
worse.
The only one doing it, wasn't I?
Absolutely. I wasn't heavily targeting too many people. I had a couple people queued up just because that's normally what I like to do. But it was always that first guy right at the top of the queue, or at least one guy I was really kind of gunning for would go right away. And
so I took a different approach in this league where I went super running back heavy, yep, which I typically don't do in a dynasty startup.
Yep.
Where I went Jonathan Taylor, DeAndre Swift, Austin Eckler, Miles Sanders, and then that's after that is when I finally took my first wideout in Allen Robinson and DJ Moore.
Yep.
It was a different strategy than I normally do. Normally, I go quarterback, running back, wide receiver. I get the stud in both spots, and then I start just going best player available after that. This time, just the way it fell, I kept going running back, because, you know, I started seeing the value. I got Swift in the 3rd round, Austin Eckler at the 501. I got Sanders after that. I was just sitting there, I'm like, how is he still available? And I pick him. How is he still available? I pick him.
Yeah.
Now, there was some really, really good picks in this draft. The first one I thought, Davante Adams, the 301. Especially because his strategy was he went Mahomes, Saquon, Barkley with his first 2 picks because he traded up into the back end of the 1st round with his 2nd pick and 4th pick, I believe.
Yep.
And he took Barkley in the 1st round. And then at the 301, he gets Davante Adams. I thought there was a lot of good value there, especially because you're starting off with such studs. Never mind the fact that his next pick ended up being Kelsey. Yep. So he's 100% win now.
Oh, yeah. At that point, once you start trading up that early, you're bought into win now. And he definitely got the benefit of the situation with Aaron Rodgers right now and a little bit of uncertainty. Listen, Davante Adams is still a stud.
As long as Devontae plays.
Exactly. As long as he's on the field, they will get him the ball by any means necessary.
Jordan Love, Blake Bortles, whoever the hell they signed this week.
Your grandmother down the street. They will find a way to get him. He's still a top
12 wide receiver.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
There's no doubt about
too talented.
It. And what, I know he's what, 27, 28 years old. He ended up being what, the wide receiver 10 off the board. So great value. If Rodgers plays, you got the wide receiver 1 in the 3rd round. I love the value.
Yeah, you can't beat that at all.
Gibson going at the 406. I was pissed off about this one. Devin, I know you're listening. I was pissed off about this one. This was the one that I was messaging. I'm like, oh, give me this pick. I'll give you my next one, blah, 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 blah. I wanted Gibson here because I was going with second-year running backs with Swift, Jonathan Taylor, and then I wanted to go with Gibson. And then when he took him, I was up like 5 picks later, and I just ended up getting the next good value, Eckler at the 501. I thought, I honestly, it would not surprise me at all if Eckler is a top 5 running back next year, just based off of pure volume.
Yeah, these are definitely two guys I'm really high on coming into this year. Devin, shout out to you for screwing over Tim. I appreciate it. If I couldn't get Gibson, I'm glad you did. He's a guy to me. I've been banging the drum on him for a while now. And while I'm not sure how likely it is to happen because you have a healthy CMC, but to me, from a raw talent perspective, if he just managed to put it all together, J.D. McKissic fell off the earth and he got all the passing work, he has the talent and upside to be overall RB1.
Let's not forget the fact, I'll disagree on that. I'm going to get back to that in a second, but... Sure. Let's not forget the fact that J.D. McKissic also plays wide receiver on the team.
Yep.
He lines up in the slot. He runs routes. It's not Gibson comes off the field and McKissic comes on the field.
Yep.
They were both lined up in the backfield. You would have McKissic out wide and then him as a solo back in the backfield and send J.D. in motion and doing all these different things. They're doing a lot out of that backfield. My concern is how much is Fitzpatrick going to check down because he's a gunslinger.
Yeah.
He's not going to go with that safe underneath throw. He's going to force it to the sidelines or thread the needle. That's my only concern. As far as Gibson being the running back 1, we're a couple years away from even being able to, because you know Jonathan Taylor, I project him because he has a better offensive line, a better system, everything. Yeah. I project him a lot higher. You know, Derrick Henry's still in the league. Zeke could have another big year because they're returning Dak and 3 all-pro offensive linemen. I think it's way too early for that. And I don't even, you know, Gibson's a good player. I'm curious if he's ever going to be a top 5 running back.
Yeah, I mean, to me, I say that and I don't take it lightly by any means. Obviously, a lot of boxes have to be checked in his favor. A lot of things have to break his way in order for that to happen. I'm just saying from a pure talent and upside perspective, he has that upside. But yeah, you're absolutely right. And even another guy like Eckler has that other top 5 upside this year. Hopefully he stays healthy, but when he did come back from being hurt, he basically didn't really miss a beat, and Herbert got him the targets that he needed.
And anybody behind him is not good enough to get the work from Eckler. That's the thing.
Yep.
You know, Jackson, and you have Josh Kelly. Josh Kelly looked terrible. I'm sorry.
Yeah,
he was the big, sexy name, the sleeper running back. He was going to get Melvin Gordon. No.
Yeah. He's very good at running into the back of his offensive line.
And I think that was what, was it you and Alex that were high on Josh Kelly, or was it Ty and Alex?
I think it was Ty and Alex.
Yeah. They were very high on Josh Kelly. I didn't understand. I was always, this year, I've targeted Eckler in every draft, and I've gotten him in the end of the 4th round in the Dynasty League, and I think it's amazing value. Even if you go 0 RB in the first 3 rounds, if you can get Eckler as your running back 1 or 2 in the 5th round, end of the 4th, do it. I'm getting him in the top of the 5th round in 12-team leagues.
Yeah, I mean, and that's solid return. Obviously, his long-term prospects aren't the greatest, but his game also translates being a receiving back. So
it's a lot. He's more likely to go to be a 30-year-old running back than a typical, like a Zeke, who's about a year older.
Yeah,
you know,
he tends to he stands to have at least a little bit longer of
a James White role. If even in 4 years, are you going to be surprised if Eckler's still catching the ball as a third down back out of the backfield, getting you 8 to 10 a week?
Yeah,
you know, his longevity is there. I do believe in it.
Yep.
Next one, Sanders the 606. I know I don't want to pat my own back, but I think that's tremendous value. As my running back 4 in the 6th round, I like it. I thought he slipped a little bit too far. I just couldn't pass up the value. There was a big run on wide receivers around this time.
Yeah, it started right at the turn.
Yeah.
Because you're in the middle of the round. So once it hit that turn, you had basically 5 of the next, or 7 of the next 8 picks.
We're all wide receivers. Yeah, and I knew it was coming. And I think this pick and the next pick ended up jump-starting that. And the next one was Joe Mixon at the 607. Wouldn't be surprised at all if he ends up being a top 12 back again next year.
Yeah.
If he can stay healthy and if that offensive line can remotely pass or run block, the volume is there.
Yeah, they're certainly committed to him now. You let Gio go. You replace him with
Puka.
Chris Evans.
And Puka.
I'm not worried about
that. And they have Samaje Perine. Yeah. Who's gonna get 2 to 3 to 4 rushes a game?
Yeah.
Puka might take over the Gio role because he's a little bit more of a receiver. Evans is the bigger guy, about 215. Puka's, as we know, is like 170 pounds.
Yeah.
Benched like 4 reps the combine.
Yeah, solid 4 reps.
Yeah.
They were strong. Yes. But not great.
3 more picks here. I'm just gonna rattle them off and I'll let you give me your opinion on them.
Sure.
Odell at the 807. I love this pick because it hurt your feelings. Deontay Johnson at the 901.
Yeah.
And Debo at the 1003.
Yeah, so I like Debo. As long as he can stay healthy, of course, you being in that San Francisco offense. There is some more mouths to feed now, but I think that he can still be viable. Again, it's just gonna come down to health, really. Of course I like the Deontay pick. I want him for me. He would have fit
so well with your 21-year-olds.
24. So I don't know why you took him, to be honest, because obviously I was shooting for all the young kids, but
I mean, he's a good win now piece still.
Oh, absolutely.
A nice PPR monster.
Yeah. And, you know, Ben's arm's not getting any stronger. I don't know how much he's going to be chucking the ball downfield. It started to wear off on him a lot towards the end of last year. So you saw a lot of dump offs. I think they're going to try and run the ball a lot more than they did last year now that they have Najee. But he's still their kind of the focal point of their offense. I think he's better than Juju. And Claypool plays a different role. So yeah. he's the good PPR guy on that offense.
Yeah, awesome. So there was a big trade in the middle of the draft where Alex and, was it Casey? Yes, Alex and Casey made a big trade. So the 401, Casey's on the board. He's now, he was going kind of a competitive struggle at the same time. He went quarterback. He made a bunch of trade backs because he went Kyler Murray, Justin Herbert in his first 2 picks and then traded his next pick to move back and then acquire picks. And then at the 401, he trades that pick for Alex's 5 and 6 and gives up an 11. So it was a 4 and 11 for a 5 and a 6. It ended up being Najee and Curtis Samuel for Justin Fields and Travis Etienne. This is where it kind of hurt and unraveled Alex's draft because I thought he started out amazing. He started out with McCaffrey, A.J. Brown, Diggs, and then Jamar Chase with Najee. But then it's like, okay, it's a super flex league. That's a good start, but I think if he didn't trade up here and just left Najee alone, he would have been able to solidify his quarterback position still. But because now he has to miss, 2.5 rounds, the best quarterback on the board was Aaron Rodgers and Jalen Hurts. And then he's starting to, you know, go for Tom Brady and the long... It's one of those things where, you know, now he's starting to really struggle for quarterbacks.
Yeah, you have to play catch up at that point. You know, Aaron Rodgers, it's tough because you don't know what the situation is going to end up being. I think to this point, he still hasn't attended minicamp. So you have the GM calling him a strange fellow. I think that was quoted at one point. It's tough, but I'm a believer in Jalen. I think he can still provide a good floor for a quarterback, especially being a rushing quarterback. So he has that Konami code. I think he'll end up being okay, but he definitely had to play a little bit of catch up in terms of drafting his quarterbacks. Because once you go Aaron Rodgers, okay, now you have to come up with a contingency plan, which he ended up with Tom Brady. I still think he's going to be a top 10 quarterback. And to be honest, he could end up playing longer than some of these 30-year-old quarterbacks that are in.
Yeah, we talked about this before the episode.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's not a bad backup plan at all. Fortunately for him, when you start off with CMC, AJ Brown, and Steph Diggs, you're in a pretty good spot. It's good. I know I've said it. I put it on Twitter the other day. It's going to be nice to know, as long as CMC is healthy, you're good for 25, 30 out of your RB1 slot every week. Not a problem. Yeah. And it's just good to bank on that. And I think Najee Harris is going to have a good year. I think he has all the potential to be a high-end RB2, maybe a low-end RB1. I'm not going to project that yet, but I think that's
definitely... I'm right there with you. Yeah. I have him in that 11 to 14 range because he's going to get a lot of volume.
He's going to get the Leonard Fournette volume from,
yes,
you know, the year before, and has much more talent around him to succeed. So he's going to get a lot more scoring opportunities. So,
and a lot less stacked boxes because they, yes, still have to respect Ben.
Exactly. You still have weapons on the outside, so you're not going to end up with a crazy stacked box. So I think Alex made a nice recovery for himself. And on as far as the other side goes, Justin Fields, I've been high on Justin Fields. The situation isn't the best for me in terms of Chicago. I have a hard time trusting that coaching staff. But
it's not even the coaching staff. It's the organization since the 20s. They've never had a good quarterback.
Right. The one thing I will say, though,
is... Like the 20s and the 1900s.
Yeah. Oh, those.
Yeah. Not 2020. 1920.
God, that feels so long ago.
Well, yeah. It was 100 years ago.
When you really think about it.
It's a century ago. Tough.
You know, even 1990 feels a long time ago. But I digress.
2018 feels like a long time ago.
Even with Justin Fields, you figured this was the first real quarterback that I think Matt Nagy actually had impact on. And he could actually say, yes, I want him. They obviously traded up to get Justin Fields, so they saw the value there. He has always been a winner, so I'm a believer. They're going to have Allen Robinson for at least this year. It'll be very interesting to see what he can do with Darnell Mooney and David Montgomery and company. So that'll be interesting. And then Travis Etienne ended up at Jacksonville, ends up with Trevor Lawrence, so... That offense is going to move. It's going to end up with some scoring opportunities. I don't know how that's going to shake out with splitting with James Robinson. I think James Robinson's still going to have somewhat of a role. But I honestly think I wouldn't be surprised if Travis Etienne ends up getting a Percy Harvin type role in an Urban Meyer offense. I think they wanted Kadarius Toney for that role. And then when he came off the board for the Giants, Travis Etienne was the next guy.
I think James Robinson's going to be just fine. I think he's not top six running back like last year.
Yeah, he's not going to get that level of volume.
Exactly. I still think he's a mid to late RB2.
Sure.
You're going to get, you know, 10, 12, 13, 14 a week from him. You know, he's going to be in that wide receiver 20 range. RB20 range. He's going to get the volume. He's going to get a lot of, you know, I think... I'm not reading too much into this whole he's working out as a wide receiver. I don't see the Percy Harvin thing. I know the speed is there. He's a natural running back. Percy Harvin was a gadget player, like, you know, Patterson. Granted, Patterson's a lot bigger than all of the guys we're talking about here, but I think Etienne's going to have a role. I think he's not going to have the volume this year to be super fantasy relevant. Like, you're not getting 18, 19 from him. Mm-hmm. Maybe a couple weeks here and there. I think Robinson has a role for the next 1 to 2 years.
Yeah. It'll be interesting to see what happens after this year because it's the previous administration. It's the previous regime. So they owe nothing to James Robinson. And obviously he's still on that undrafted contract. So there's no money to be had. There's no cap hit. They could cut ties with him. No problem. But
they'd be stupid. They'll trade him before that. They'll get something for him. But
yeah, it'll be interesting to see kind of how that pans out. Obviously, Etienne now has the draft capital, but James Robinson, he showed some talent last year. So I think he definitely deserves to be on a roster somewhere.
Absolutely. I know we quickly talked about Casey's team. It was interesting because his first four picks, all quarterbacks, he went Kyler, Herbert, Fields, Watson before he took a positional player. Now, once he took Watson, we were in our group chat and we were like, is he going to take another quarterback? He knows that it's not all super flex positions, right? Yeah. And I was talking to him. It wasn't like, you know, it was more of a joke between us than anything. And then when he went Montgomery, Godwin, Etienne, I was like, okay, now it feels better. But he texted me. He's like, I might go quarterback again because the value is there.
Yep.
He's like, you know, I'm still looking at guys, you know, because you can go Godwin or you can go with somebody like, you know, Tannehill, Wentz, somebody in that range, Stafford.
Stafford is still there, yep.
And then you can go with one of those guys and just command the market and have all the trade capital that you want because they'll demand a lot more. But it was definitely a different approach because in the meantime, it was the 6:03 before he took a positional player.
Yeah, and this kind of goes to one of those things, again, when we talk about game theory, when you see value on the board, that's all players that you can pick up. And again, it's the haves versus the have-nots. You know, if I have something that you don't and you need it, now I control the market and I can set the price to whatever I want to or whatever I need to fill other needs. Especially in a super flex league, quarterbacks are at a premium, especially younger quarterbacks. So,
and you're sitting on Watson for most likely at least a year.
And you basically got
Watson. You might sit on Fields for a year.
Yeah. Yeah, that's possible. I don't think it's going to end up taking that long. I think.
But he might. He's not a starting quarterback right now.
Yeah.
That's the thing.
Yeah. It's at least for right now, it's Andy Dalton. But we'll see what ends up happening. But yeah, I mean, he has plenty of flexibility. When you start with Murray and Herbert, you're set at the quarterback position. So everything else you grab is gravy at that point. So, you know, you have some teams in this league that I feel at least are a little bit lacking. Now you have a trade partner to work with and say, hey, what do you want for this quarterback? And then you can start talking from there and he could fill out the rest of his team. Of course, he had a good amount of picks in the sixth round, so he started to fill in those roster spots. But it was interesting to watch play out, that's for sure. We saw a few different strategies come into play here in this draft.
He has 2 1s, 2 2s, 4 3s, and 2 4s next year.
Yeah.
So you and him can just take care of the draft whenever you feel comfortable.
Sounds good.
I only have a 2 next year because I traded one for a mid-round pick. But it was definitely interesting. It didn't exactly shake out the way I'd expected. Now, a lot of people are like, wow, I can't believe the quarterbacks left. I can't believe the quarterbacks left. Remember, in a 10 or 12 team league, there's a lot. There's a huge difference.
Yep.
Because 10 team league is what, 32 teams?
Yep.
There's 32 teams. Each team can have 3 starting quarterbacks, and 2 teams have 4 starting quarterbacks. And you're fine with 3.
Yep.
In a 12 team league, not everybody gets a third quarterback.
Yeah.
If somebody has 4, somebody else has 2. And that means you're starting a wide receiver on your super flex if there's an injury or a bye week.
Yep.
And if both your quarterbacks have the same bye week, you're fucked that week.
Yeah, you're screwed.
But it's just one of those, you know, 10-team league, there's not as much of a premium. Remember that. Don't reach on quarterback. To be honest with you, I went into this draft and said, I'm not taking a quarterback until the 5th round.
Yep.
I planned it out. I had the 6th pick in the draft. I was like, I hope Jonathan Taylor's there. I'm going to come around and get A.J. Brown and Justin Jefferson. 3rd round, I'm going to get, you know, one of those guys like Gibson, Swift, one of those guys. 4th round, I'm going to get my 2nd wide receiver, and then I'm going to focus on quarterback. But when I saw Dak was sitting there in the 2nd round, I'm so high on Dak this year. I think he's the QB1 above Mahomes, above Kyler, above Josh Allen. He was on pace to blow them out of the water last year.
7,000 yards.
Something like that. It was insane. I think they're going to tone it down a little bit, though, but we'll see. If it wasn't Dak, if Tyler would have taken Dak at the 203 instead of Russell Wilson, I was passing on Russ and I was going to take A.J. Brown there.
Yeah, no, that's understandable. I mean, even when I came up at the 208, I thought about going A.J. Brown. And then starting off with Justin Jefferson and A.J. Brown, that would have felt great, but I start to get a little bit nervous when it comes to quarterbacks in Superflex, I like to go at least one quarterback within the first two rounds just so I have that stability and then go from there.
Yeah, I planned on having my team centered around, you know, Stafford, Tannehill, Wentz, Matt Ryan,
yep,
and having a bunch of really good positional players.
Yeah, and that's, I mean, that's not a bad strategy, especially in a 10-team league. Again, know your settings and know how many people are in the league because that dictates value. But I decided to go with Joe Burrow. I like Joe Burrow a lot. I think he's a good piece, especially if I'm going super young. Because that was the other thing, too. Within these first two picks, I'm like, okay, if I go super young and I have upside, then that gives you flexibility. Veterans always seem to fall at least a little bit, so you can kind of pick them up later on.
I'm surprised you didn't go AJ Brown here. This was before the Julio trade, by the way. This was
before the Julio trade. That does matter, because everyone thought that AJ Brown was going to end up with like 200 targets and was going to be the next Devontae Adams.
He's still going to get 200 targets.
It would take a hurt Julio in order for that to happen.
You mean current Julio?
Oh, yeah. No, I think it's going to be comeback season for Julio this year. It was a weird year for him last year with the hamstring injury. Obviously, he's getting a little bit older. He's 32 now, I think. But I think he's the kind of guy that he spent, you know, a lot of last year on the shelf, was surrounded with all the trade rumors, got caught on, Undisputed? On the phone with Shannon Sharp.
I think he knew he was on TV, but he just didn't want to get fined for it.
Yeah, he's just here so he doesn't get fined. I get it. But I think this year is going to be kind of a nice bounce back year for him. I don't expect wide receiver one. I expect wide receiver two type production for him just because of the offense.
Like, you have him below the top 12 wide receivers?
Yes. For this year, yes.
Wow. You think his, even though there's no Janu to take a lot of that pass, I don't think Firks is going to demand the passing work.
Yeah, I don't think so either, but I think that the offense isn't going to deviate too much from what it did last year. I think that Derrick Henry is still going to get a ton of carries. Maybe they end up passing a little bit more, but you still have AJ Brown on the opposite side. So,
because he missed two full games and then he missed two half games and was still the wide receiver 12 last year.
Yeah, and that was a ridiculously high passing offense, though, with
AJ Brown.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I'm talking about AJ.
It was highly efficient passing offense. Now,
he caught 70%. 67% of his targets.
Yeah, I mean, obviously Tannehill's a really good quarterback, but they benefited a lot from a very good play action game. Now their coach moved on to Atlanta, so it's going to be a little bit different in terms of what to expect maybe with that offense. I still think you're going to have a good, steady diet of Derrick Henry. He hasn't gone anywhere, but it'll be interesting to see what kind of philosophy changes there. You still have Mike Vrabel as the head coach, so I don't know how much of it is going to change, but there might be some level of change for sure.
Yeah, I mean, it's fair. I'm a very big fan of AJ Brown, as most people are.
It just got really scary with him every time he would make a catch. It started
every time Mike he was Williams. On. Every time they showed him on TV, it looked like he was hurt.
Yeah, it just looked like he was.
Which he was
going through it. Yeah,
he had two torn meniscuses.
Something. Yeah, and he ended up going on
meniscuses.
Menisci.
I'm going with menisci.
Sure.
Yeah, let's do that.
Could be completely wrong, but it's fine. Okay. Say it with confidence. That's all you
need. Yeah, that's the word. On the podcast, it's menisci.
Nice. He ended up going in for surgery. And then I remember he went on Instagram Live for that. That was interesting. But yeah, hopefully he has a healthier year this year, because he's way too good of a talent to not be on the field.
So while we're on the topic of the Titans, this is a weird one, because a lot of people are starting to kind of fade AJ a little bit now. Before you were had him clearly above DK, if you loved him, whatever it is. Now Julio's there and they think that he's going to be. Would you consider this Julio's stat line next year? 14 games played, 100 targets, 70 catches, 1,000 yards, and 6 touchdowns?
I think that's in the realm of possibilities.
That's Julio's?
Yeah, I think that's in the realm of possibilities. The only thing I am cautious on is the touchdowns.
So here's my thing on that, because I've had this conversation with a couple people this week, and I don't mean to cut you off. I think that's more Matt Ryan than it is Julio Jones.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's more that offense where typically it was a lot of Gurley or Freeman or Tevin Coleman in the red zone. I felt like Julio was never really targeted or designed plays other than back shoulder throws in the red zone.
Yeah, it was definitely a lot of, you know, back shoulder fade. You're a big guy, go get it. Kind of schemed up targets for him.
So I think with a new quarterback and a new system, I think Julio is going to be a normal wide receiver, like normal for himself, what you'd expect touchdown wise.
Yep.
6 to 8 touchdowns instead of 3, 4, whatever it is. I think Julio's going to be just fine. I can, you know, because the reason I asked those numbers, that was Corey Davis's numbers last year.
Okay.
Jonnu is gone.
Yep.
So the passing work is now on Anthony Firkser at tight end. I don't think Firkser is going to demand many targets. Adam Humphries has gone out of the slot. That's going to be a lot of, I think, Des Fitzpatrick
mm-hmm.
out of the slot. Granted, he's not a natural slot wide receiver. He's a little bit bigger, 6'2", 215 or so.
Yeah, and it remains to be seen how he develops within their offense, obviously right. being a rookie and whatnot.
So it's not out of the realm of possibilities to say Julio has Corey Davis's numbers plus a little bit, and it doesn't take away from A.J. Brown.
Yeah.
That's kind of where I'm going at it, is I'm still expecting A.J. to put up the same numbers, if not better, next year.
Yeah, that's definitely...
Being healthy.
Yeah, that's a fair assessment for sure. Like I said earlier, Ryan Tannehill is a very good quarterback. He's hyper efficient. It was a hyper efficient offense last year. They were 4th in points scored and 3rd in total yardage. So while they were 23rd in passing, they were 9th in passing touchdowns. So they were a very efficient offense, and Tannehill made the most out of the targets that he, the passes that he did throw.
Yeah, I mean, 14 games on 2 torn menisci. He had 70 catches, 1,000 yards, and 11 touchdowns.
Yeah.
Now you're telling me if he's healthy coming into next year with 2 good menisci, you don't see him with 80, 1,200, and 12?
Yeah, it's definitely.
And he's in the, wide receiver 6, wide receiver 7 range?
Sure.
That's my thing with him. It just one of those things where I've been seeing a lot of hate on him on Twitter. I don't understand it.
Yeah, I think in Twitter and the Dynasty community in general, I feel, is very quick to react to certain moves, and you kind
overreact.
Of, yeah, they overreact. You go from one extreme to the other in certain circumstances, and you kind of need to settle down a little bit, dig into the numbers, look into, okay, how does this affect a certain team versus how they came into it last year and how they produced last year. AJ Brown isn't going away. He's the guy that they drafted, they've developed, they have obviously seen the talent in. He's still going to produce, he's still going to eat, he's still going to get his. So Julio coming in, actually that could benefit A.J. Brown in a lot of ways too, because now you can't just roll coverage over to A.J. Brown's side because you only have to worry about Corey Davis on the other side. Now you have to play it a little bit more honest, so maybe A.J. Brown sees a little bit more single coverage. Doesn't get double covered as much, and we obviously know how much of a tank A.J. Brown is, so defenses are going to have to figure that out.
Yeah, he's unbelievable with the ball in his hands.
Yeah.
He's a running back with the ball in his hands. That's the big thing with him and Julio, is a quick slant can be 90 any play.
Absolutely.
I'm sorry, not 90, 6.
Yeah.
A touchdown.
Yep.
Every single time they touch the ball, they're a threat to score. It doesn't matter if it's behind the line of scrimmage, at the line of scrimmage, 5 yards downfield or 45 down the sideline.
Yep.
They're a threat to score because they're bigger and stronger than DBs. They're faster than linebackers. And they know how to catch the ball at the high point, right?
Yeah, it's a matchup nightmare.
That's the big thing with them. They're actually going to be a lot of fun to watch. There is going to be a week where AJ gets, 2 targets, 1 catch, 12 yards, maybe a touchdown, maybe not, because Julio just goes, 14 targets and just can't be stopped.
That's the only part that's a little bit scary, and it's going to be interesting to see how many weeks end up like that, because you have another alpha-type receiver on the other side.
It's just like DK and Tyler Lockett. When DK went off, Tyler Lockett, you didn't even know he was on the field.
Yeah, yeah.
Because when you have that big alpha, you can have 2 alphas at wide receiver. Mm-hmm. I think AJ and Julio are friends. They're going to be just fine. It's like who?
AJ recruited.
It's yeah. Julio. It's just like Landry and Odell. They're just fine if one of them goes off and the other one doesn't. They're rooting for each other.
They don't care about our fantasy rosters.
No, nobody does. Nobody gives a shit about my fantasy team. No. But it's one of those things where, you know, I don't think either one of them, if Julio goes 10 catches, 200 yards, and two touchdowns, you think AJ's pulling a fit in the
No, he's going to hype his boy up.
Yeah, he's going to go on Instagram live with them again and, you know, post TikToks and do the whole nine.
Absolutely.
But I think they're going to be just fine, but there is a little bit more of that question mark of guaranteed week to week with AJ.
Yeah, there's going to be a little bit more volatility than what...
Now he's ranked exactly where DK is for me. Before I had him above DK, redraft or dynasty.
Yep.
Now they're head to head.
Yep.
And I'm starting to lean Justin Jefferson above both of them. Tyreek is still above both of them in my head too.
Yeah, that's fair.
Tyreek is my dynasty wide receiver one.
No, I don't blame you for having that assessment. Any receiver that has his talent and can be tied to Patrick Mahomes for as long as he wants, you can't argue with that. So
even if he was getting thrown the ball by Jameis Winston, he'd still be, you know, he's been able to fill out his game so well, he being Tyreek, where he's filled out his game so well, I don't even think it matters if it's Pat Mahomes at this point anymore.
Yeah. No, it
because he runs such a good route tree. He's completed his game with his unbelievable track level speed.
Yeah, and you can't teach speed, but it was good that he developed a route tree around that. And, you know, defenses obviously had to respect his speed, so they can't just play bump and run coverage on him. But he also still has the finesse in order to get free, especially on those crossing routes and whatnot. He pretty much has it all, at least from a, you know, receiving and being a threat on the field. And then, of course, having Patrick Mahomes helps his chances even more.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, so that's all I got. You have anything else?
No, that was it. I'm ready for football, man. I'm ready for real games. I think I'm done drafting so far. I think I'm good for the rest of the year. I'm gonna get a little bit bored. So I'm going to try and facilitate some trades in the meantime, but I'm just ready for games to get here, man.
Yeah, I got the itch to draft today, and I had to put it aside because I drafted too many teams this year.
You got to put the bottle away, Tim. Stay off.
I drafted too many teams this year. But that's all I got. We'll catch you guys next week. Hopefully we get Tyler back from his hiatus, his normal hiatus now, and we'll go from there.
All right, take care, guys.
Later.